Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration. Not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after, 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing potential clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to be the inspiration to others and help them find the inspiration within themselves. So I am super excited to introduce Vince Cortez. Now, Vince is a career entrepreneur with 27 years of experience, and he's been in the apparel industry for 16 of those years and is now online as a copywriting agency and mobile app developer for small businesses and entrepreneurs. Now, he's a college scholarship athlete and a graduate of Clarion University with a dual major BA in marketing and advertising. Now, his journey from a middle-class family child of four kids, from rags to riches to rags. He suffered cancer in 2014 and lost it all, business, home, and wife, then soon thereafter falling to cancer. Now, he's on the rise again with a podcast, and here is to share his story with us today. So, welcome, Vince. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Wow, Wendy, thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, I can't wait to dive into this, but I'm just, you know, I love how you're really, you know, you're helping those small business owners, those entrepreneurs. You know, copywriting is one of those really frustrating things because it's so difficult to convey your message in a way that really has potential clients engaged and excited. So I can't wait to hear more about this and your business app developing work that you're also doing.
Yes, the one had begotten another. Having been in the apparel business prior to, you're responsible for all duties. So that marketing and advertising rolled over into the e-commerce world. And I had a window of time there. And I had plenty of time with starting this really when I was in my recovery from my cancer. So that time in the bed and sitting there and trying to figure things out, you know, I was using all the things that were successful in the brick and mortar world. And I was in for one heck of a shock when I would begin to use what worked and the old school didn't work in the new school e-commerce world at all.
Right, right.
So yeah, that's the entrepreneurial failure ship was back on, you know. Oh. So it's like you got to be willing to fall in order to rise. So This was a part of all of that.
Right. So I've just very briefly touched on this journey that you've been on, but specifically, what was the inspiration or the tipping point, you know, that prompted you to start your agency? Was it that time that, you know, you were just recovering and going through that big health journey that, like you said, you know, that caused the startup of this new focus?
What I really went through initially was having the mindset of where I wanted to be 5 or 10 years from now.
Okay.
And what I saw was beginning to happen on the internet. Myself, I probably was online for a good half a dozen years before I realized that you could do marketing and advertising and business online. I thought it was all for social or almost like an extension of the public library if you wanted to look things up. Mm-hmm. So right. I didn't really engage into the internet, and I'd say until about 2007. And that was after like my life had pretty much fallen apart, you know, prior to with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the loss of the business and the home and everything. So what I first saw was mobile apps, and it was kind of, I reflected back mostly on what I saw progress at that point, because I don't even believe Facebook was really, I think they came on in 2007. So what would come of it was, is I saw things going from the big computer, from the desktop to the laptop, and the phone had just really appeared. And it was like, I was feeling like if I was going to read technology right, everything was heading towards the phone. I remember thinking it was funny hearing people saying that they were doing websites off of their phone. And I just couldn't fathom the idea, because the screen wasn't big enough in my mind.
Yeah, right.
That was like, well, if that's where the younger audience is going and the technology's moving that fast, it would probably be wise to learn how to do something on the phone. And so I had a little bit of experience prior to getting the cancer of doing some websites. So I knew how to do a website. So I had that extra time in the bed, and it was like, I started just doing research on mobile apps. And the reality of it was that they were primarily for gaming. And when you would say, yeah, I got an app, people were thinking it was like some child's game or some poker game or something you were going to go do mindlessly on the phone. And the more I looked into it, I'm like, well, I like to think about how I can monetize things. And the gaming part of it wasn't clicking. And I was like, but that's what the market's doing now. Where would I see this evolve? So I'm entrepreneur, business owner. I'm like, who's making apps for people starting businesses? And this is where it all started. So I began to learn how to develop an app at that point.
Wow. So you were really at the cutting edge of the whole, I guess it's a revolution, right? And when
started. Yeah, I would reference it as an end of an era, because things aren't the way they were anymore, period. Exactly. On almost every front at this point too, getting to 2021 here. And the rate of that change that I saw back then is accelerated. I mean, MySpace came out and it had gained some traction, and then it got squished, and Facebook was just everywhere and in all places to all people and all things. So it's like, you know, what's in the wake then of this type of stuff, where we have Amazon showed up and Facebook, and then the way that YouTube and Google have appeared, and these are literally giants. But it's like probably more in the last 4 to 5 years since this occurred. Because if you go back to 2016, 2017, those folks were on the rise and you knew about them, but you had no idea that they were going to become as prominent they are. No, I don't know that anybody could have predicted that.
Right.
But the point was, is you can see that window of what comes, what sticks, and what comes and goes much quicker. I mean, you're probably like literally in a 90 to 120 day window of something coming out, and you can have a decent prediction on whether it's going to stick around or not.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast these things evolve.
In the diversity, along with, like, for example, doing the apps, it's like the things that I'll have on my platform to use now make what I do so much easier than it was. There's a lot less programming involved. You got like where you're creating, like how they'll do on a fundamental website, say like on a Weebly or a Wix, where you're dragging and dropping boxes. This is how things are working in your lead magnets and in your automations and in your funnels. So it's like, you don't really have to know how to do this stuff. I mean, they'll even give you full on templates where somebody like myself comes in with the copywriting and helps you fill it out.
Mm-hmm. Right. So your evolution basically has gone from kind of focusing on website building and then quickly, you know, foreseeing where the future is going. So you jumped into putting more energy into the business app development and creating those, because that is, you know, that's amazing that you had that foresight to know that's really the direction things were going.
Well, here's where it got interesting, because everything that I would proceed to do selling the app and promoting the app was what worked with physical products and brick and mortar.
Interesting.
And I would have a rough 2 years after that, let me tell you.
Right.
Because the classic sell to everybody and sell to nobody was kicking me in the face every day.
Right, right.
And it was like, I don't get it. This is what worked. This is, you know, when you can reflect on something that earns you as high as 60 grand, 65 grand in a month, that to you is like, that's a formula that works. You're in my mind, that's grandma's blue ribbon apple pie recipe. I'm going to score with this one.
Right.
And that's why I think I just couldn't let go of it. And it was like, it was what I knew. And the reality of what it finally told me is what you know, it knows no more. It mm-hmm. doesn't apply. You yep. need to unlearn it or whatever you call it and get on with how this actually works. So that understanding the line of thinking and how technology works and how you connect the dots within that, as you begin to understand the process, you love it because it's way easier than what you used to do. Uh-huh. And it begins to play to your favor. But I mean, it was probably not to my advantage that I had success stuff the other way.
Kind of held you back. Yeah, you kept.
Well, he's wasted a lot of money.
That old filing cabinet.
Well, you know, it's like, because like I said, I succeeded at it before. So those were the ones that you would put more money into your campaigns, and it was like you were willing to take a bigger risk because you're coming in confident.
Right.
And you know, so times change quickly, you
right.
know.
So but where does the copywriting come into play though?
It really came into the play when I'm doing this marketing and learning how to sell, and not necessarily sell anymore. It's more about educating mm-hmm. because this is all new even to the people who are developing it. Like the fellow there, ClickFunnels, Russell Brunson, says, as long as I'm one chapter ahead of the students, I'm the teacher in the class.
Right.
And that's how quickly the technology is moving.
It's like
if you're up with it, and that probably became what was most prominent to me watching, as we mentioned earlier, about how quickly these giants arose, is you need to be on top of what's going on. So it keeps you fresh. It keeps your mind sharp. You're aware of everything and attached to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it yep. plays to your advantage to have that kind of open-mindedness when you're moving forward in this game of e-commerce.
Right.
So to answer your question, after doing all of this work and now it's about educating, it's like, well, I don't know how to talk right. It's like everything that I'm writing down here. And it's like, I have the compelling offer. I've got all the components of what makes these funnels and these things click. You know, I'm trying to tap the well. And it's like, buddy, somebody needs to talk to you about how you're talking to these people on here mm-hmm. because it was sales. And not putting yourself in their shoes. It's like, it pretty much doesn't matter who you're talking to. If you're asking them for an exchange of currency for your product or service, their mind goes no further than, what's this dude going to do for me?
Right.
And does he know what my problem is? Because he ain't talking the fishing talk that he needs to talk if I'm going to buy around here. You know, so if you don't get into their mindset, you won't be able to get rapport. And then you're already shut down. You're not going to be able to share much value or teach people too much if they think you're not in the know.
Right. Which is so why the copywriting is so critical to be able to have that, you know, congruency with exactly what your potential client is, you know, relating to or resonating with. So I love the fact that you have that skill. Obviously it's come from the years that you've spent in marketing and advertising to really know what kind of messaging is going to land for that.
I like to try to come from the perspective of what I want to do for the client by asking them what they know or don't know about what I do. So it's like, once I get the clarity and try to find out what it is they're trying to accomplish and what that means to them, or what it would feel like for that to be gone, you let them know that, you know, the average person doesn't realize that marketing, advertising are not the same thing. Those are two different dialogues in the in the way you speak to the person in front of you. And then sales. So marketing, advertising, and sales all are construed by the general public as one thing. Sales, you're trying to persuade someone to make a decision. That's the most aggressive conversation. But that's not necessarily need to be had if you know how to market. And then that's really the introduction to the sale. The mm-hmm. advertising is introducing to who you are and what you do. Mm-hmm. So this is what you'll run into over and over. Like, for example, when you're doing your emailing, you're running your funnel. How many times have these people heard conversation from me, the source, the brand, and how are their a level of heat towards me? Are they cold, warm, or hot? But that's the same thing as advertised marketing and sales. So when you allow the client to understand the difference in the level of conversation it needs to happen, attracting the people they want to attract becomes a lot easier.
Right.
Like that's why when you'll see some of these people, they're giving you ridiculous numbers. I went from $1,500 to 5 million in 30 months. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he probably did. And it's probably a method where he stroked his audience and his product had the right timing. These things do occur in the e-commerce world. Outrageous amounts of money weekly and daily does occur. However, does it apply to you? Because there's always variables in what people are doing and degrees of difference. So you want to always take that into effect. But it's like, if you know a formula works and he's telling you it works, do it exact to start. Let the thing prove that it doesn't for you, but do as you purchased. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I mean, it's really, it's a feel thing. You got to have a feel for a passion for who you're talking to, relating to what their problem, their issue is, and really do your best to try to understand them. Mm-hmm. Be a good diagnosis. Right. Of what it is they're going to need help with.
Well, and considering, you know, I'm a sales coach, you know, I have to put my foot down and just disagree a little bit in terms of sales as persuasion, because I like to go more aligned with what your zone of genius is, which is the act of inspiration. And if there is that alignment, and if you have really provided everything that your potential client really needs in order to make their decision, and your offer aligns with exactly what they want, then there's inspiration to commit. So I just had to interject that, Vince, because I wasn't going to let that roll by for our listeners. They're like, wait a second, she bought into sales.
I would say you're more the expert in that field than myself.
So I just had to chime in there. And you know, obviously you are an expert at helping business owners and entrepreneurs really find their voice, you know, and convey their message through varying platforms and create these effective business apps. But I'm curious, and we've been talking a little bit about this already, but, you know, how do you feel about the sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set than your copywriting and, you know, app development. So do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
I would say the idea of understanding what the client's need is. And this is partly not the client's fault at all. It's more my responsibility to understand what it is they're challenged with and understand where their position is. And a lot of that is getting their emotions towards what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And if they can clearly convey those, and you can confirm, you know, as you understand it, as they explain it to you, you're going to do much better, because then, as you just mentioned, that inspiration will strike them when they hear what it is you can do for them.
Right. Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, because when that feeling of solution strikes, the relaxation, there's so much that goes on within the person that they know that, or they feel that you can be the one that can help them, then the transaction just happens. But I'd say for me, it's that clarity. Mm-hmm. I better ask some good questions and get the best understanding I can, and things happen from there.
Right. Yeah. And that really does create a great conversation when you have that luxury. A lot of people struggle with the messaging when it's not a conversation, you know, or even just to get the conversation, right?
Well, I like Dan Sullivan is a big influence of mine. And the way that he puts things in perspective as to how to get the client to engage with you, and his question about if we were having this conversation 3 years from today, you were looking back over those 3 years, what would have to happen in your life, both professionally and personally, for you to feel happy with your progress? So it's like, for the most part, that's the opening question. I don't have a sales pitch at all. I'm trying to figure out if they have a vision for where they are, and you force them to basically solve their own problem. And as you become better at listening to what they have to say after that question, you pretty much know if you can help them or not in the first 3 to 5 minutes of the conversation. And in the process of them sharing what their position is, rapport naturally happens, because at that point, they see that you're there to help. You're not there to try to sell them.
Right. Yeah. I guess I'm just a little confused in that, what does their question have to do with copywriting? So it always
does is it enables them, for me, to be a good diagnosis is their copy, what's weak and what it is they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Because but looking backwards from 3 years down the road, you know, that's a broad question. And so I guess, you know, if you'd like a little bit of insight, you know, I'd be happy to share how to really land on finding out what their need is, or creating a message that aligns, you know, with what they're looking for with regard to copywriting or building a business app.
Well, I think that just to put the clarity in there, I wasn't trying to reference that so much towards the copywriting specifically. That's kind of a question that I ask any of the people that I'd be working with, because I want to get a feel for, because a lot of people don't think beyond, you know, the next week or the end of the month or the end of the quarter. So the idea of getting to think beyond that before we start having the discussion about right now also gives me an idea of, or is this person a strategist or not? You know, how much help is this guy going to actually need? But again, they're telling me what it is they need by answering any parts of that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why, but I would say if we were referencing more in line with copywriting, you're going to go more into what triggers they're trying to go off, and what are they trying to accomplish in the way of their mindset for their product or their offer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It just all comes down to really understanding who your specific ideal client is. You know, I call that their DNA. All right. It's a combination of their values, their beliefs, and their desires, and also their struggles. And with all of my clients, we help map that out clearly in terms of what it is that are their motivators, or, you know, what it is that they're seeking. And that's kind of what I guess you were talking about in terms of 3 years down the road, look in the rearview mirror, but it's the here and now of what it is that are those top of mind, real life frustrations that your work can solve, and that your offer is the conduit. Your offer is the bridge to solving what it is that's going on in their world as it relates to the work that you do. And so having that clear message always comes down to fully understanding who your ideal potential client is. There might be a multitude of them, right? Depending on, because a business coach has a completely different set of motivators or challenges or desires than does, an auto mechanic, you know, somebody that does a service, but in a completely different line of work. And so It really comes down to, and I never recommend that people eliminate people that, you know, are industries that they want to work with, but it does come down to really profiling what are those specific real life top of mind desires and the real life top of mind frustrations that your work solves. So that's my offer to help provide a little bit of clarity around what it is. How can you figure out what it is that they need? And sometimes, like you said, maybe they don't know what they need, but I think they really do. It comes down to having the message resonate in where they're at. They do know what they need. It might not be what you know that they really need. And that
I have that part of the coaching I find very interesting, because my father was a high school basketball coach. Mm-hmm. And I had the luxury of being in locker room at the age of five, all the way through until I made middle school. But the part of bringing out the best in the client is really what you want to accomplish. And by having that understanding, and you could create a motivation in them that you're just reflecting them back to themselves. Mm-hmm. And we can do that in the way of message, but it's like a lot of it has to do when they realize they have it in them. You're just trying to trigger something in them to let them see that they do have it in them, that they did that.
Right. Yeah,
and well, that's always a good things coach. Change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And you know, Vince, we're still in this pandemic. I was going to say we're on the tail end of it, but I don't know about that. And dealing with the pandemic has had such a huge impact on so many different levels. Besides, of course, the obvious concern around health and wellness, but as it relates to the work that you do in terms of supporting business owners maintain their business and ideally take their business to a new level, which is what copywriting helps them do and developing business apps. So can you talk a little bit about the impact that the pandemic has had on the work that you do?
For me, it's been great. The world going virtual and already being perched in a mobile arena where you've got some experience on your belt where you can help people out with the two most important things. That's finding customers and customer acquisition. And that's the copywriting and helping people put their thoughts and words into creating emotion and triggers of their ideal client. And then once you have clients and the work that's been put in, you sustain them by using the mobile app. And that's kind of like, to me, I feel like that's really all you need to have. You want to keep it as simple as possible. What becomes enriched is the depth of conversation that you can have with your clients, and they begin to forge what it is they're selling and how you do it. You become then more the conduit. You're not really teaching anything at that point. They're seeing how powerful they are with these tools. And things just take root. They just, you can watch a person once they get that 1-2 punch down, they're doing more than one or two or three businesses because it's easily repeatable. And you also have things in the virtual world now moving forward. I call it virtual real estate because it's like people can, it's funny, they don't have a hard time with the things that they see, but the things that they can't see, and they can't see a virtual store. They see pictures on a screen. What does that represent? It's not a door I open and walk in and I smell a place, or, it has atmosphere. It will with the photographs, but not like in the 3D world. Right. So that being the case, you have tools to your advantage that you can create energy in a virtual world you couldn't do in the other. And the fraction of the cost. And again, like I mentioned earlier, the softwares that are out there, this stuff is becoming easier. So during the COVID, I've begun to flourish, actually. I mean, I got a podcast rolling on top of all of this, and that's over a year old already. So that basically started during the COVID, completely unintended as well.
Right.
But it's how these things happen. If you can incorporate it with what you're doing, you can do more than one thing. Mm-hmm. But be good at one to start and allow the others to roll in.
Right. Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense because the access to the World Wide Web from your computer, quite a different leverage versus opening up a brick and mortar location. So, well, Vince, how do you work with entrepreneurs and small business owners who want to get their message out there, put their thoughts into words and sustain their business through mobile apps? Can you share a little about, you know, your approach and how you work with people?
Well, what I like to do is work with primarily coaches, consultants, and solopreneurs. Mm-hmm. And these are the idea people generally, and they have the experience that they want to convey because they're passionate about it, but they don't know how to incorporate technology with that. So mine being where the experiences is heavily tech driven, what people don't understand when they try to do something online, they're still learning, or even if they have the experience and they know what they're bringing in, you have to learn the tech part. And what was funny was, I think that was the order of business for me. I was selling an app and I couldn't sell it. And then the copyright came in, because it's like, I got to actually be better at the copyright than the app, or I'm not going to sell any apps, or I'm not going to educate on apps because I don't know. So it kind of realized that was ahead of the other by process. So you had to get the step one in the copyright right. But the idea of the COVID and the people not understanding how to do this, I'm in the field and look at what I went through to learn it. So it's like asking someone to run their business and learn that at the same time. That's where I try to bridge the gap. And that's where my service will come in. It's just sort of consulting like in the beginning, but it's like, you know, if you want to work beyond the advice I can give you and the value, which you can see, it's like, you can do it yourself. I can do it with you, or you can have it done for you. So there's different levels of my involvement as far as helping them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And so when it comes to building those apps to support their business, then you can actually create the app itself to perform.
Yeah, my personal feeling on it, when you're somebody, and I'm referencing solopreneur, that coach, if you're not on a mobile app, you're not set up to succeed on a long term. And in this case, long term could be past 3 years. You know, it's like, because the reality, as we mentioned earlier in the conversation, about how quickly things are changing. And it's like, there's certain levels of which you need to maintain. Like back when I was young, you were in the Yellow Pages or in the Business Directory, and that was all you needed. Mm-hmm. And you went out and did word of mouth and you snail mail and flyers and just asking for references. It's like, that's so different now. It's like the social media takes over that. And it's like, but you can incorporate those same approaches through different tech. And again, yep. That's where I'll help them start. But if you were to be a person or a coach, I mean, the order of business that you can create a mobile phone through an app is mind blowing. And what's really cool is, until you want to add something to it, I mean, some of these clients will put a video out and they're making money off of it 3 or 4 years later, and they only did it one time.
Right.
You know, so now they're adding to it. And it's like, my advice would be to make a YouTube channel, because they're free. But YouTube, unless you actually take it down, it stays there indefinitely. You don't have to pay rent on that space on a search engine, a video search engine. So it's going to lean more towards that as we go in the future. So these are things to know that, again, don't cost a lot of money. You're not primed on them because you're busy running your business. Unless you're in the tech business, you don't know this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cost you money and time and frustration, or ultimately you're going to be, this marketing stuff doesn't work. All and right. It's not that it doesn't
you can't
work.
You can't be an expert at everything, especially how quickly things are evolving. So,
It's like, I try to bridge that gap for them, mm-hmm. and let them know that, you know, someone can help them get beyond their point where they're at. Because ultimately you want to do it with them so that they don't necessarily need you around too long.
Okay. Yeah. No, that it's always good to teach somebody how to fish versus providing them with a fish. So
yeah, I like using that fishing scenario, Wendy, because I think life is about fishing. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to know what hook to put on the line and what kind of bait to put on the hook and which kind of boat to get out to which area of the fishing hole and what time of the day. And it's like, you know, it's funny how the philosophy and the workings of fishing applies to life.
Oh yeah.
And definitely. The things that's we a do lot of, in life. So
a lot of applications there. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, and it just, they have a unique way of blending. So, and I'm not especially a career fisherman. And the times I've fished, I've had fun, but I could see how it relates, and it makes
me think of there are a lot of similarities, definitely. Yeah. Well, Vince, how can listeners learn more about this great work that you do?
Well, you can listen to my podcast.
Okay, and what's that called?
Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez. Now, there's a couple other podcasts out there called Leave Your Mark, so you got to put with Vince Cortez on there.
Okay.
And I'm phonetically challenged to Cortese. It looks like it says Cortez. It's pronounced Cortez by my dad. And that would be the first place. Okay. And second would be, I have a website. And then I have my copywriting website. It's called VCM for Vinny C Marketing, VCMcopy.com. And you can access some of the work that I do over there and the things that will help you out with the copywriting. And then my mobile app company is bluetorchmobile.com.
Okay.
And you'll see the whole spectrum of the apps that we make and the different industries we serve.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. So the podcast is Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez, right?
Right.
And then your copywriting website is vcmcopy.com. Okay. And then the app building website is bluetorchmobile.com. All right. Perfect. So look for those hyperlinks in the show notes for our listeners. And you can, are you on social platforms as well, Vince?
Yeah, I'm actually on all of the social platforms on both the podcast, the copywriting, and the mobile app. So if you go on Facebook, it's Blue Torch Mobile. The same on Instagram. LinkedIn, it's got my podcast on it. I have a Facebook for the podcast as well. So I shouldn't be too hard to find.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like you have good online presence, which is
that takes time too, as
it
well.
Does. I mean, yes.
You'll gain traction as you get going. It's kind of hard. I think one of the hardest things to do in this game is having content.
Work for yourself is always the first, sometimes the challenge, right? Is you got to be your own best client first. Put your copywriting hat on for your all these different platforms and stay current and all that. So, all right. Well, fantastic. And Vince, you've already shared so many just golden nuggets of wisdom here through our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your businesses, I mean, goodness, 27 years as an entrepreneur in various different aspects, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have even started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
That's a great question, Wendy. I like that one.
Something tells me you've got some great advice, Vince.
Well, I feel the most important thing is when you wake up, you want to have something that's pulling you towards it, something bigger than your current life. And this is finding out what your gift is and allowing yourself to be pulled toward it. And it's your gift is what comes easiest to you.
Right. And I think that's your zone of genius, right? That inspiration that we were talking about, or that I brought you into the show with.
I don't think that there's any greater inspiration than selfish inspiration as well. Just to reflect real quick, I'm not a Hollywood guy, but Matthew McConaughey made a speech that made it to YouTube. And real quick, his speech was, who is your hero? And he said, that's a great question. I got to think about that for a minute. And he gets back to him and he says, I thought about it and I realized who my hero is. And he goes, well, who is it? He goes, me in 10 years from now. And he says, so what's going to happen? I'm going to come and see you in 10 years from now. And you're going to say yourself 10 years from now. And he goes, I think you're right. Because the idea of waking up and looking at a brighter part or a bigger, you're going to be bigger because of what you're about to go through because of it. The success side of it is, it feels good, but it's what's more important is what you turn into in the process of it. And I think that's probably better explained by somebody like Jim Rohn, but it's like, I experienced the cancer and I committed to my health to start every day. And I've walked over 1,100 days now. And I thought, you know, I'm going to post on social media when I do 1,000. And it wasn't so much that, like, it was a big deal getting up to 1,000 because I didn't think that my health meant that much to me. I had gotten into it and I was doing it, but it was like, I'm almost at 1,100 times now. And it's like, I'm become a different person because of committing to this, being a problem solver, knowing that every day that I get better at solving problems, I'm getting closer to where I want to be. And this allows me to continue to be better than I was yesterday and better than I am today, because I'm planning all of what I'm going to have happen to me forward. I reference to you, I call it memory forward. So it's like, you have to have in faith the belief that what you're asking for will become real. And when you really internalize that, it's like, it's better than any Disney movie with a genie with only three wishes, because this is endless wishes. And the genie is you getting out of your own way and being that problem solver that this life requires to be, and evolving and being better. And like, you answer your why am I doing this is the initial question to those folks getting started. But as Martin Luther King has said, you don't need to know what's at the top of the steps, just take the first step and your journey and your motivation has begun.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. And obviously, having, you know, endured such a winding and frustrating and challenging journey that you've gone through, you know, from 2007 and basically losing so much through that phase, and then facing cancer in 2014 and losing and then regaining and evolving. And like we said, you know, on the rise again, not just in a small way, but in a very big way and making a huge difference. You know, it's just been so great listening to your story, Vince, you know, all the words of wisdom that you've shared, and learning about this great work that you're doing currently with your copywriting agency and mobile app developing, as well as, you know, this powerful podcast that you host. I'm making a big difference to coaches, consultants, and solopreneurs. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. And I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Thank you, Wendy. It was a pleasure being here. I knew we were going to have a good time when we first connected on the internet. So yeah, it was absolutely. Like, I was excited to be here. So thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's just been a great conversation. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Vince Cortez through his websites, and that's vcmcopy.com for his copywriting agency, bluetorchmobile.com for his business app development business. And of course, his podcast, Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez. And be sure to look in the notes, the show notes, for the links to those websites, as well as his social platforms. Sounds like he is present on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. All right. Well, for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of what I call compassionate selling, where you've fully supported your potential clients' decision-making process by providing them with everything they need to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. So are you 100% confident that you're fully supporting your potential clients? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right, well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Vince Cortez. And as always, here's to your success.